We believe also it should be a summit in Tunisia, not on Tunisia. We are putting the spotlight on Tunisia's human rights record precisely because Tunisia's human rights record is not an acceptable model around the world. Our interest is to see an information society that is based on human rights, including the right to freedom of expression. And that requires us to be extremely vigilant about the very difficult situation that exists today in Tunisia. It's a very poor example, and our efforts to put the spotlight on the very poor situation in Tunisia is an effort to raise the profile of the importance of freedom of expression and human rights in the information society generally, and to ensure the Tunisian model does not become a model for other countries to adopt.
That was the voice of Steve Buckley, president of the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters.
From November 16th to the 18th, the World Summit on the Information Society, or WISIS, is being held in Tunis, the capital of Tunisia. The WISIS objective is to build an inclusive and equitable information society where, quote-unquote, everyone can create, access, utilize and share information and knowledge. While the Information Summit is just starting today, this Wednesday, Tunis itself is in a state of police siege. On the night of November the 11th, just as Tunis was being adorned to impress the 17,000 or so expected visitors, French journalist Christophe Boltanski from the French newspaper Libération was stabbed and assaulted on the street. After visiting a group of human rights activists on a hunger strike who were approaching their 30-day mark, we met a team of Belgium television journalists who were filming Tunisian lawyer Radia Nasraoui and had just had their equipment confiscated by police. The crew's camera was seized as they filmed a police intervention where Nasraoui attempted to enter a supporting organization's offices. While the atmosphere was tense, the camera crew asked for immediate support to walk to the German Cultural Center for a scheduled meeting in support of an alternative citizen summit, which was to be held in parallel to the UN summit. A few minutes later, our 10-member international journalist delegation was blocked before reaching the site of an opening press conference for the Alternative Citizen Summit. Despite a half-hour standoff with an imposing group of plainclothes state agents who refused to identify themselves in downtown Tunis, the journalists were forced to leave. It was later learned that several other groups of journalists and activists had experienced similar treatment. Constant human rights abuse, intimidation, those are some of the things that happen regularly here in Tunisia. Specifically to human rights activists, but also to all kinds of activists from different backgrounds. Now, to speak about these events, I'm here with Tamara. And, Tamara, we wanted to discuss some of the things that we covered this week. And I would like you to tell me first, maybe you can talk about Siam Bensedrine, who you met just yesterday.
So we met Sihem yesterday in a house where 8 hunger strikers were meeting with media and with solidarity activists. And they were talking about their struggles and the human rights abuses that have taken place in Tunisia lately. And Sihem had just been through a series of events, all of which unraveled, as you said, Roberto, yesterday on Wednesday in Tunisia, in Tunis. And I guess the first thing that happened in the morning was that Sihem had gone with some others to meet at an NGO and solidarity activists meeting to plan the citizen summit that they were trying to organize. And there was a large police presence, and we'll just let Sihem explain what happened.
Ça fait rien. On a essayé de faire une réunion de coordination du groupe qui prépare le sommet citoyen. On avait un rendez-vous au Goethe-Institut qui nous a offert l'espace. Et la police était là, elle a interdit à tout le monde d'entrer. Enfin, pardon, pas tout le monde, ils ont interdit surtout aux ONG tunisiennes d'entrer. Et nos amis européens de AMARC, de IFEX, de Human Rights Watch, de FIDH, de Frontline, etc., ils étaient avec nous. Ils ont dit, on rentre tous ensemble ou on ne rentre pas. On ne va pas accepter d'être séparés de nos partenaires tunisiens. Alors ils se sont rués sur nous, ils ont commencé à nous pousser, à nous bousculer. Souhaïr Blahsen, la vice-présidente de la Ligue des droits de l'homme, a été prise par quatre hommes comme ça, soulevée et jetée 300 mètres plus loin. Moi, ils se sont acharnés sur moi. Moi, je me suis accrochée à une voiture pour qu'ils ne me fassent pas tomber par terre. Ils se sont rués sur moi, ils m'ont fait par terre avec des coups de poing et tout ça. Et surtout, ils ont beaucoup, beaucoup insulté avec les mêmes arguments. Vous êtes vendue, vous êtes une prostituée, on sait ce que vous faites. Vous donnez, c'est des mots que je ne peux pas répéter qu'ils ont utilisés, des mots extrêmement grossiers et insultants. Et voilà, vous venez voir les étrangers qui vous payent. Et ben maintenant, vous devez savoir qu'ils ne vont plus vous payer et vous avez intérêt à les choisir d'autres macros, etc. C'était un langage ordurier.
So, Siam and Cedrine talking about the events that occurred just this Tuesday when she says they were trying to go to the Goethe Institute, the German Cultural Center, and they were roughed up and beaten up by the police just as they tried to go in, and they were the police made sure they did not enter the center, and they were pushed to the ground. Siam says she was roughed up and also constantly insulted. She was told that she was with the international crowd because she was receiving favors, that she was something akin to a prostitute, and all kinds of insults of that type that she received. Of course, one of the things that we have to explain clearly is that all of the World Summit events are being held in a kind of isolated area around Tunis, actually kind of outside of Tunis, while most people are being taken in charge from the airport to the site, to the airport. The majority of the thousands of delegates that are coming, among them several high-profile delegates, several presidents coming, will probably never get a chance to go downtown and meet local activists to learn about what's going on. So that's an important thing, because there's a few independent journalists who've been trying to cover another scene that's not being covered to its full extent by international media.
Mm-hmm. And it's been, the security in Tunis right now is just incredible. The first day, Roberto, when you and I traveled back to the Kram Center with the conferences, we were looking at snipers on buildings. There were thousands of police. It's impossible to count them all. There's tons of undercover all over the place. But as you said, most of the people here are kind of in a WESIS bubble. And as soon as you get outside of that bubble, you find yourself being followed down the street by undercover police officers, constantly watched, being blocked from access, being questioned on the street. And one of the things that we spoke about with Radia Naswari was how police can get away with the type of violence and the intimidation that we've experienced.
So let's listen to Radia Naswari, who is a local human rights activist.
And I think the impunity is the reason why policemen are continuing torturing people in the police station, prisons, and everywhere, even in the street. Last week, they have beaten the president of the Tunisian League of Human Rights, a man who is more than 50, and a man who is respected, who is well known. And I think everybody knows about the situation in prisons. Everybody knows that we can be tortured until we die in Tunisia, only for an opinion. But I think they continue to support Ben Ali. Many of the Occidentalists are supporting Ben Ali, and especially the American, because of this campaign, international campaign against terrorism. But we have not terrorists in Tunisia. You know that I have been treated as a terrorist many years ago, and they tried to say to the personalities who were supporting me, she is terrorist, since she is defending terrorists. And the terrorist about whom they spoke, it's the opponents, Islamist opponents. I cannot understand. We can put people in prison only because of their opinion. I don't agree with Islamists, but I cannot understand. They can torture them, and they can put them in prison for many years, sometimes for 30 years, only for one thing. If they can beat the president of the league, I think we can imagine what they can do to the other people. I can tell you that the situation is really very, very hard for all the prisoners. They can be beaten in prison. They can be pushed in a cell, isolated. They can be deprived from the visit of the family, from the visit of lawyers. I can no longer see them since last year. I can no longer see my visit my clients because they don't want lawyers to be informed about the situation of prisoners. They don't want us to do complaints because they want to beat them and to have them in prison, always isolated.
So that was Radia Nasraoui trying to talk about putting her comment on the WISIS summit and how maybe the mainstream summit is not taking a look at what's going on in the rest of the country. And that was one of the initial criticisms that rose when the summit organizers, and that including the UN, who's one of the main organizer for this event, decided to do this in Tunisia. A lot of human rights groups and a lot of international grassroots organizations expressed criticism that this would be held in a country like Tunisia.
We were speaking with Suher Ben Saden today, and she is the vice president of the Tunisian Human Rights League. And she had a really interesting perspective on this because we asked her kind of what she thought when she first found out that the WISIS Part 2 would take place in Tunisia. And she said that there was a division among Tunisian activists, human rights activists, and they're a small group to begin with. She said that some people wanted to push for a boycott, saying, how can a summit on the information society, on the free flow of information, be held in a country like Tunisia? But she saw this whole summit is kind of a leverage point and a way to really bring Tunisia, she called it, beyond the postcard facade, because if you drive around the beaches around here, you see a lot of luxury resorts. Mm. Everything looks beautiful.
Tunisia being somewhat like Cuba for for Europeans.
Yeah, exactly. It's or like Cancun. And so there's not, and at the same time, a lot of people have told us that the general population here in Tunisia are pretty complacent about the dictatorship ruled by the President Ben Ali right now. And we think that some of it has to do with the level of affluence as well. Tunisia's pretty, it looks like, Tunis anyways, looks like a pretty wealthy city for Northern Africa. In any case, eventually the groups in Tunisia decided to come together and to organize a parallel citizens summit, so response. And they got the support of a lot of solidarity activists. And we're not really talking about grassroots North American or European activists. We're talking about Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, AMARC, some pretty big groups. But interestingly enough, even with all these international NGOs backing the Citizens Summit, they've hit one barrier after another. And I think we'll let some of the organizers, we'll let Siham explain to us what's happened.
I think that we haven't any place still now. Public spaces we have rented are cancelled by faxes, saying us they have under construction. And we tried also to rent a private home, and they harassed the owner, and they forbid us to rent even a private home. And still now, we have no place to attend our citizen summit. And they asked us, they said to European Union and also American and so on, they said why they didn't stay in the Kram, in the Palexpo, altogether with all people. But they forget something. We are not accredited as a Tunisian NGO. You couldn't access not only the site of the summit, but even the streets accessing to the to this site. We have no rights here.
Following up to the Tunisian groups talking about what has been going on and police intimidation and the beatings and harassment that has been going on in the past few days, a lot of groups this Tuesday decided they were going to cancel the events that they had planned inside the official summit. Now these groups being, among others, a group of human rights defenders like Frontline, other groups like AMARC, the Association of World Community, the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters, and other human rights groups decided they would just not hold the events that they had planned. There's actually also a press release that was sent out that is entitled Free Expression Groups Pull Out of WISIS. As the United Nations World Summit on the Information Society is about to open, there has been a series of serious incidents against journalists and human rights activists, and mentioning among others that the most serious was the attack on the French journalist and the intimidation that went on in front of the Goethe Institute of Tunis, the German Cultural Center. So there is this this communiqué has been circulating, that's being given around. Of course, most of the official, the larger, how could I call them, the official larger stands, more commercial stands, corporate stands, have not changed their attitude, have gone ahead with all the events. And so, while this is, there's all this conflict and discussion going on throughout this summit, and of course, events in the real in the official summit going on, still a lot of local groups are putting, trying to put pressure on international governments to respond to the situation of human rights in Tunisia. So, one of the other interviews that you did was, or one of the other excerpts you want to play, is also once again from Siam Ben Sidrin, the local human rights activist.
We wanted to ask her what she would like Western governments to do at this point. The EU and apparently Canada, and I think even the US, are supposedly trying to pressure Ben Ali into Tunisian President Ben Ali into supporting or at least giving more space and freedom of expression to the human rights defenders in Tunisia. And so this was her response.
À mon avis, il devrait refuser de cautionner ces pratiques qui sont une insulte à cette communauté internationale, qui sont un camouflet à son agenda. Parce que l'agenda, c'est quoi? C'est offrir la communication à tous. C'est ça, l'Internet, c'est cela qu'on est en train de discuter ça. Or, la communication est interdite dans le pays hôte à tous les citoyens. Ils ont coupé tous les téléphones. Je ne sais pas si vous le savez, mais tous les téléphones avec le service public de Tunisie Télécom, aucun de nos téléphones ne fonctionne avec l'étranger. Toutes nos lignes fax et téléphone sont coupées. Notre connexion Internet, elle est coupée. On ne peut plus ouvrir nos emails. On ne peut même plus savoir quel courrier on a reçu. On y va. Ça,
c'est ce que vous avez. So that's Siam Ben Sidrin talking about how communications are being controlled in Tunisia, and also adding that all of the human rights defenders have their lines blocked so that they're not able to call internationally. And while considering those comments, we should also add that several human rights websites have been blocked. And even here in the summit, we are not capable of accessing human rights sites that have criticism of Ben Ali and criticism of the Tunisian government. And it's pretty obvious when you just write in Ben Ali into Google. A lot of the sites that have information are just not there. It's just a white blank page that pops up. And this being software that was put together by Nortel Networks, a Canadian company, while there are a lot of groups that are also criticizing that Canadian involvement, Nortel being involved in the software making for Tunisia, but also for China. So while the alternative media has been trying to put some attention on the human rights situation, of course, mainstream media has been here in the mainstream summit, and we know there's a special space for international journalists, and them like the others, they've been bussed around and under constant surveillance by police, just as are most of the international guests, as we said earlier. Now, we just wanted to finish this special broadcast on the summit, talking about our impressions now that the summit is just about to officially go underway. This morning, President Ben Ali was here visiting, gave it a tour. We saw him taking pictures just outside of the summit. And I suppose a lot of the international, the other presidents were also here, walking around with Ben Ali, seeing the exhibits and all. Tamara, what are your impressions of what you're seeing here?
Well, I mean, I came here to the conference center for the first time today, and it was after being like interrogated on the street by two undercovers and being held up for about half an hour, blocked by the undercover police, and then hearing reports of police beatings. So, needless to say, we were a little bit shocked when we came here. It looks like Disneyland. There's, as Roberto was saying, there's these huge corporate demonstration booths. And there's big pictures. There's lots of big pictures of African villages all over the place, mm-hmm. with slogans saying ICTs for development. And one of the AMARC delegates from Africa and I were talking about this, and Roberto as well, going around tomorrow and asking people exactly how ICTs are supposed to bring communities out of dire poverty in the middle of the Sahel. And you have to really wonder why all this money has been put into this massive summit, has been used to create these huge facilities in Tunisia and to hire, you know, thousands of undercover police officers, basically. What is concretely going to come of this, and what kind of links are people inventing?
Well, one of the major issues out of all of this process that's been going on, because it's more than summit is a process, is what kind of space will, for example, grassroots organizations or other, organizations like the Association for Progressive Communications, APC, what space will these smaller organizations have in the kind of wider scheme of things as far as communications go? As far what will happen to the democratization of communications, the right to communicate, and the other things that are pushed by the smaller organizations. While there is here Oracle, while all of the governments have their stands and everything like this, and they're trying basically to push for one of the ideas that is being pushed is this idea of having $100 computer being put out and given at a large scale to Africans, for example, so that they can access the internet from their villages, or all kinds of other wild ideas that are being shown here. One wonders where it's going. Of course, walking around here, you have the impression that it's all these larger conglomerates and larger entities that are dominating.
Well, I mean, you have to really wonder why it is that all these corporations are here, why they've all spent thousands of dollars on their exposition booths, if the intent here is to create a free and open internet information society. Why is it that there's so many corporate sponsors? And I personally, and I think a lot of people feel the same way, that, of course, they have a huge stake. This is a huge industry, and it can be guised as development. And sure, ICTs have shaped a lot. Community radio, we couldn't be here doing what we're doing without ICTs, and we do recognize that, but there's other uses of ICTs that I think we should question.
Okay, Tamara, well, thanks a lot for participating with me.
Thank you, Roberto.
And that was our look to the World Summit on the Information Society. that is going to start Wednesday while you're listening to this program, and so it's going to be going on from the 16th till the 18th of November in Tunisia. So I hope everybody will keep looking at what's going on here, and we will keep focusing, of course, on what's happening with the grassroots organizations here inside and outside of the summit.
And for more reports from the streets and to hear many interviews in French and English from both the Tunisian dissidents who are out there fighting and some of the other groups that are here as well, check out the AMARC website, www.amarc.org. And if you go to the audio link, you'll find a huge list of interviews that's going to be growing every day. And you can also access some of our stuff at Radio for All, Radio 4, the number 4, all.net. So please stay tuned.